भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse number 9 to 13. So, starting with verse number 9. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaretyah Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Prasat Parastat Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. Meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Purport. The process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy and is factually stated herein. First of all, the Lord is Purusha, a person. We think of the person Rama and the person Krishna. And whether one thinks of Rama or of Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kavi, that is, he knows past, present and future, and therefore knows everything. He is the oldest personality because he is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. He is smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. But the Lord is so inconceivably small that he enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore, he is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, he can enter into atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the super soul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and is maintaining everything. By him, all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and systems of galaxies. The word achintya, inconceivable, is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking, jurisdiction, and is therefore called inconceivable, achintya. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world, and yet he is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achintya means that which is beyond this material world, and that which our argument, logic and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understanding. Hare Krishna. So we are here in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita entitled Attaining the Supreme. And the verse we are doing today is verse number 9 through verse number 13. The beginning of the 8th chapter, Arjuna is asking many questions. And the last question that he is asked is, how can those engaged in devotional service know, that is, remember you at the time of death? Krishna answers all of Arjuna's questions, but largely dwells on the answer to the last question. The last question is, why and how to remember Krishna at the time of death? Verse number 5 and 6. He says, if you remember him, you will go to him. Antakale cha mameva. And then he says, why is it so? It's actually part of a general principle that he has established. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. That is, the state you are in, you will attain when you quit your body. Then from verse number 7 to verse number 13, that is, today we are covering from 9 to 13, all these verses is an elaboration of how to remember Krishna. Not only at the point of death, because suddenly at the point of death, if you want to remember Krishna, it is not going to be possible. Just as if a student who is going to appear for an examination, suddenly at the time of examination decides, now I will write down all the answers. It's not going to be possible. He has to work throughout the year. Only if he has worked throughout the year of the academic year, only then, at the time of examination, he will be able to answer his questions. So here similarly, Krishna says, you will not be able to remember me at the time of your death if you do not practice throughout your life. So it is a lifetime of practice. Therefore it is very nicely said, lifetime is preparation, and death is examination. In the verse 9, Krishna very clearly explains how to remember him by giving us a few important tips to remember Krishna. And these tips, we can enumerate them as 8 in all. He has given 8 important tips by which we can remember him very nicely. The first word is Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. In the translation, if you see, it reads like this. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person. So on whom to meditate? On the person. As the one who knows everything. And at the end of this sentence, it's mentioned, and who is always a person, though he has so many qualifications, but yet the fact that he is a person cannot be changed and has to be accepted. Why this is being stressed so much, that he is a person? Because very often, even in day-to-day dealings, if you ask somebody, do you know who is God or do you know God? Generally, you get a variety of answers. And very often, you get qualitative answers, qualifying God. They say, God is light, God is knowledge, God is power, God is love. But these are all his qualifications, these are his qualities. But it is not him, but he is the source of all these things. Therefore, in the Shastras, it is very nicely explained that Vividham sa Shruyate. That means he has variegated energies. And by the strength of these energies, he is sustaining the entire universe. The entire creation is sustained by his energies. But though he has a variety of energies, yet what is the source of all these energies? The source of all these energies is a person. To take a very common example which we can relate to very easily, people like to see dramas and cinema. So there is something known as a talent for acting. So if you want to see an exhibition of good acting talent, obviously you must have the person. Without a person, how can you appreciate the acting? Similarly, in the game of cricket, batting is supposed to be a talent. So there is a very good batsman. When he is going at the crease, a large crowd comes to see, witness how nicely he is going to bat. But then, if you want to see the batting talent, obviously there has got to be a batsman. Similarly, Lord has a variety of qualities. But all these qualities have to have a source. That is why Prabhupada very nicely explains. If there is energy, there must be energetic, the source of these energies. And therefore, Prabhupada has made it so nice for us to know it. After having read so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, people are still confused as to who is God. But you just read Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the very first line you will appreciate that Krishna is God. This is the power of a pure devotee. He delivers Krishna right into your heart. In fact, when Prabhupada went to Australia, and it was the first time he was going to the Australian continent, after very successfully establishing Krishna consciousness in USA and UK. So when he came to Australia, there was a reporter. And this reporter, just as he came into the airport, he put a mic in front of Prabhupada and he told him, "Swamiji, have you seen God?" It was a very tricky question, because if Prabhupada said yes or no, then he was ready with an answer. In fact, what was working in his mind was, "We don't need you. We already know God. We have a system of worship. You may go back." Now, Prabhupada is a transcendental person and he can read the heart of the living entities. So, Prabhupada smiled and he did not say either yes, he did not even say no. But he gave a completely different answer. He asked this reporter, "What difference does it make to you even if I say yes?" This was the question he asked him. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gopal, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So Prabhupada posed this question to the reporter and he was completely floored. Yes, he really did not have an answer to this. What difference does it make if the person in front of you is telling that he has seen God? Actually, even to accept that the person who is talking to you says that he has seen God, it needs faith. And then Prabhupada went on to make a very classic statement. He said, "It will make no difference to you even if I tell you that I have seen God. But I have come to give you a process by which you can see God." Now that really got the whole nation transformed. Everybody was very eager to know what is this process. And the process which Prabhupada had come to give was the process of Krishna consciousness. And it is a fact. By practicing Krishna consciousness, one can certainly see God. So, this was Prabhupada's capacity to deal with people and situations and turn the tables on the opponent. So therefore, this point becomes very important. That God is a person. God is not void. Generally, the impersonalists who don't ascribe a personality to God, they have this big problem. They consider him to be pure spirit, which he is. There is no denying the fact that he is pure spirit. But just because spirit is opposite of matter, the opposite of matter, they think that matter has form, so spirit has no form. So they make it diametrically opposite. But Prabhupada a pure devotee of the Lord, clarifies this point very nicely. He says, God certainly does not have a material form. That is a fact. But He has a spiritual form, Satchit Anand, full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. And that is beyond this material form. And what is this greatness of this spiritual form? In the Brahma Samhita, it is very nicely explained. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayam chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So what is the difference between the Lord's body and our body? We have a material body. Lord has a spiritual body. But what is the difference? It's given here. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti. That is, every part of the body is capable of performing the function of any other part of the body. This is a special feature which we do not enjoy. With the eyes, he can taste. With the nose, he can see. This is the speciality of a spiritual body. It is not like a material body that has got limitations. It is unlimited. So therefore, Prabhupada makes it very easy for us to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is pure spirit, but yet He has a form, and that form is spiritual, and therefore it is transcendental. And that is so beautiful that it has no comparison to anything in this world. So naturally, when something is very beautiful, it obviously becomes easy to meditate on that. So this is the first tip Krishna is giving us on how to remember Him. That He is a transcendental person with a spiritual form on whom we can therefore very easily and conveniently meditate and always think of Him. Kavi is the next word that has been used. Kavi means all-knowing, Trikala, present, past and future. So this is the qualification of God. He knows not only what is in His mind, He knows what is in the mind of every living entity. He not only knows what is in the mind of every living entity, He also knows the past, present and future of every living entity. Even a supercomputer cannot have so much of information. That is His special feature and speciality. So we should understand God to be a person who is a Kavi. Then it is explained, He is the oldest. Again, to understand how He is the oldest, we can again take help from Brahma Samhita.
Advaitam Achyudam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
So God has been explained, He has been addressed by Brahmaji as follows. Advaitam, non-dual. Achyutam, infallible. Anadim, one without a beginning. Anantam, again one without an end. Rupam, that kind of a form. Adyam. Adyam means original, the oldest. Purana, oldest. Purusham, person. Navayovanam, this is very interesting. Ever young. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. Even after deep study of the Vedas, one may not be able to understand God. But just by engaging in His devotional service, He immediately reveals Himself. This is His special feature. So, the Brahma Samhita very clearly explains Adyam Purana Purusham, that the nature of God is He is the original personality, He is the oldest person, and it's also explained that Nava Yovanam Cha. Now this is a little contradictory. Actually, if you have seen Brahmaji's illustrations, photographs, or I would not say photograph, drawings, as description as a, given in the Shastras, then Brahmaji is shown as an old person, and with a long beard, We generally see Brahmaji depicted like this. He is shown as an old person because he is the first created being. Obviously, he is the oldest. That is, in one sense. But from where does he come? He comes from the navel of Mahavishnu, and the source of Mahavishnu is Krishna. So Krishna is the oldest, the origin of even Brahma. But Brahma, though in this material world we called him the oldest, yet he does appear old and he has a long white beard. A long beard stands for wisdom, and white, and now the beard is white. So that means he is aged. Aged also stands for maturity. Okay. So therefore we can understand this is how Brahma is depicted. But how is Krishna? Have you ever seen Krishna with a beard? Long flowing beard, wrinkles on his face? Never. He's always young, ever fresh. When he was fighting the battle on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, riding the chariot of Arjun, his age was 120. That is what the Shastras describe. So at that age, he was so fresh and so young. Therefore, we have to understand, this is a special feature of the Supreme Lord. Though he is the oldest person, he is ever young, ever fresh, ever green. That is his predominant feature. So he is not like anybody that we know of in this world. He is certainly a class apart. He is the supreme controller and maintainer and instructor of humanity. That is the next feature. Supreme controller. There are ever so many controllers. The family, father generally, is supposed to be the controller. Nation, king, and in any organization, it is the chief executive officer, so on and so forth. President. So you have so many controllers in this world. But the supreme controller, who controls not only the living, but also the non-living. Everything that you can conceive of, that you cannot conceive of, that you can think of, that you cannot think of, everything he is controlling. So that is his supreme position. And he is also the instructor of the entire humanity. What is the proof that he is the instructor? The very fact that we are reading the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is for all times. It's not just for the present time. It's for all ages. Krishna himself proclaims this in the Bhagavad Gita, that this knowledge which he was now giving to Arjun, he is telling him that it is not new, it is very ancient. It was given to Vivaswan, the sun god. So therefore, it is eternal. That is the speciality. So supreme controller, eternal controller, that is how is Krishna's position. And then it is explained, Anoraniyan. Anoraniyan means smaller than the smallest. The thing that we can conceive of to be the smallest, of which we have any description, is the soul. Because the soul is described as 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Bala grasya shatabhagasya shatada kalpitasya cha. 1,000th part of the tip of the hair. And that is also explained how to work it out. It's explained, take the tip of the hair. That itself is so small. And then divide it into 100 equal parts. Take one part out of that and further subdivide it into another 100 equal parts. And that one part which you get, that is 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. This is the size of the soul. That soul, whether it is in the human body, the body of an ant, or the body of an elephant. This is the size of the soul. But what is the position of Krishna? He is Anoraniyan. Anor means atom. Ano means atom. So the soul is compared to as small as an atom. In fact, smaller than that. So small it is. But what is Krishna's position? Anoraniyan, smaller than the atom. How come? Because as the super soul, he resides in the heart of the soul. It's mind-boggling. As super soul, he resides in the heart of the soul. The soul is supposed to be 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. And the super soul is supposed to be the size of the thumb. Now this is still more complicating. But that is Krishna for you. Don't try to understand Krishna. Just try to accept Krishna. That makes things much easier. Smaller than the smallest. And not only he is as super soul living in the heart of every soul, but he is entering into every atom. It's very nicely explained in the Vedic scriptures that even within the atom, the Lord enters. And not only within the atom, even in the space between the atoms. That means he is all pervading. There is no place where he is not there. Nityam sarvagata sthanur achaloyam avyayam. This is the nature of the soul. Then what to speak of the super soul? He is all pervading. Everywhere he is there. In this point, it's also interesting to note that scientists have studied the atom under the microscope. And they have given you the structure of the atom. They say it has a central nucleus which contains of protons and neutrons, and circling this are the electrons, which are the charged particles which go at very great speed. They orbit the central nucleus. But scientists are not able to explain from where do the electrons get the energy to go in an orbit around the nucleus. That they do not know. But if you read the Shastras and if you understand this point, that Krishna personally enters the atom, then everything becomes very clear. Because he is the source of all energies. So he is actually activating, animating the living and the non-living things of this creation. That is his special feature. Anoraniyam. But then, it is also explained that still he is the maintainer. This is the next point. So we have come, fifth point is he is smaller than the smallest. And the sixth point is that he is still the maintainer of everything and he is all pervading. Though he is so small. But though he is so small, that doesn't make him insignificant at all. That is the point. He maintains the entire creation. The universe has so many planets and all these planets are actually suspended, so to say. Who is holding these planets in its place? Of course, material science has an answer. They say gravitational force. But if you understand spirituality, it is simply the will of the Lord. That is a simple understanding. He wants it, so it's happening. By his strength. And it is also said that Adishesh is holding it upon his various hoods. He sustains this entire universal creation. That is his special position. The seventh and a very important point is he is achintya. Achintya means inconceivable, about whom you cannot think of, you cannot understand, you cannot reason out, you cannot measure, you cannot catch by logic. That is the meaning of achintya, beyond imagination, beyond understanding. That is his special feature. It's simply mind-boggling to understand this achintya aspect. If you try to understand intelligence to know Krishna, then you're committing the greatest blunder. Because they say microscope has a different application and telescope has a different application. Microscope is used to see organic substances, or what you call it as microorganisms. It's very, very small. It is magnifying it so many times, thousands of times, and you can see it clearly. That is the purpose of a microscope. And to see the heavenly bodies, distant objects, you use a telescope. Now, if you try to use a microscope to see the moon or the stars, how would it be? Would it not be a foolish venture? It is as foolish, therefore, to use reasoning and understanding to know and understand Krishna. You cannot use a microscope where you go to use a telescope. That is how it is. Another example is, you can take a car and go up to the seashore. You may have the best of the cars, a Mercedes, a BMW, Rolls Royce, anything you say. But you can go only up to the seashore. You cannot enter the sea with the car. If you have to cross the sea, you need another kind of vehicle. For different things, you have different instruments. So if you have to cross the sea, you need a ship or you need a plane. So if you need to know that which is beyond this material creation, God, then you cannot use your reasoning or logic. You have to just keep it closed. And you have to bring out the other instrument. And the name of that other instrument or other vehicle is faith, Shraddha. In what? In the scriptures, in the Shastras. With that, things become much easy. With a boat, crossing the ocean becomes much easy. With a telescope, it becomes easy to see the distant objects. Not with a microscope, not with a car you can cross the ocean. Similarly, not with reasoning and understanding, you can ever try to know Krishna. He is beyond all these things. Actually, it is explained, what is the purpose of intelligence? Even cats and dogs have intelligence. The purpose of intelligence is simply to survive in this material world. That is the limit of intelligence. To understand and answer the things within this material creation is the purpose of intelligence. If you have to go beyond it, it doesn't work. It cannot be used over there. Take one example to answer this point. Ask a simple question. Did the hen come first or the egg? Then what is the answer to this? If you say hen, because the hen lays the egg, but from where did the hen come? It has come from the egg. But from where did the egg come? It has to come from the hen. So this is how we find a dead end. With reasoning and logic, you cannot cross over this material creation. This is the limit. If you have to go and understand how the hen was created in the first place, then you have to refer to the Bhagavad Gita. You have to see what Krishna has to say. Krishna says that I am the seed-giving father of every species of life. That is why he is omnipotent. A human being can beget a human being. A human being can beget a human child. And a dog can beget a dog. A cat can beget a cat. But one species of life cannot beget another species of life. But what does Krishna say? He says, Tasham Brahma Mahat Yonir Aham Bija Pradhapita Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiya. He says, I am the seed-giving father for all varieties of life, not just one species. That is why he is omnipotent. When a man cannot produce a child, he is supposed to be impotent. When he can produce a child, he is supposed to be potent. And one who can produce all species of life is omnipotent. That is Krishna. That is his speciality. So Krishna is omnipotent. So still he maintains. So this is another example of his inconceivable potency. So we should not try to understand Krishna with our limited intelligence. It is like a frog in the well trying to measure the ocean. How can the frog in the well, whose entire life cycle is completed within the well, ever think of or even conceive what the ocean is like? Similarly, we have to keep aside this little quality that we have of intelligence and logic. Wrap it tight, put it in a box, shut it and lock it. And then apply faith. And with that faith and understanding, then we can really know Krishna better. That is a better way of understanding him. So, Krishna has no limit. It's better you know it. Submit and admit that you cannot outwit. And if you still persist, you can't just exist. Father of Prahlad and Ravan did try and ended in the pan like the proverbial fry. So lock up your reason and pack up your ego. Bring up your faith and in the holy name bathe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the simple process that Prabhupada has given us. This will open up all the mysteries, simply by chanting the holy name. So potent and so powerful. So these are the 7 points. Then the 8th point that is mentioned is, he is luminous like the sun, transcendental, beyond the material nature. Nothing here will match up to him. Therefore, simply accept the word of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and follow them. Because there is no other way. We have no choice other than this. So the earlier we come to this understanding and surrender, the better it is for us. So this way, with these 8 points in this verse number 9, we can easily meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When all these things we ingest into our consciousness, then it becomes very easy to surrender to the holy name. Because the nature of the mind is, as soon as you begin chanting, the mind begins to rebel. It doesn't want to let you focus and concentrate on the holy name. But when you know the power of the personality whose name you are chanting, then automatically the mind goes into the submissive mode and it becomes much easier to chant and therefore meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is helping us how to remember him. He is telling us, giving us tips that you do this, then you will remember me during the course of your life on a daily basis. And by this practice, certainly at the end of your life, you will definitely remember me. So further points are explained in further verses. Verse number 10.
Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranamaveshya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam.
The translation is, one who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and by the strength of yoga with an undeviating mind engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time of death. So Krishna, here Prabhupada in the purport explains that this process which Krishna is enumerating in this verse number 10 is part of the Dhyana Yoga process. He says, by engaging in the Shad Chakra Yoga means, it is explained that there are 6 chakras. I don't know really much about this, but what is written I am just repeating. So Shad Chakra means there are 6 chakras arranged in the spinal cord. So the life force which is at the bottom has to be by the yogic process raised to the top between the 2 eyebrows, and from there it can puncture the skull and escape into the sky and go to the predetermined planet or destination which the yogi has chosen. So this is the process of Dhyana Yoga. But Prabhupada adds that for a pure devotee, just by engaging in Krishna consciousness, always by his grace, he will remember Krishna. See, this is wonderful. A yogi has to take so much trouble. Yama, niyama, pranaha, pratyahar, so many things are there. So many things he has to do just in order to fix the life force between the 2 eyebrows. So much of hard work and labor he has to endeavor. What does the devotee have to do, a pure devotee? The process of bhakti. He has to engage in the process of devotional service, chant the holy name, and then what happens? The grace of Krishna begins to flow. By his grace, he will remember Krishna. This is Krishna's promise. So Krishna steps out to help the devotee. That is his special feature. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has very nicely brought out this point when in his final days he was in conversation with Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj was explaining this point that when they were chanting the holy name together, tears came up in the eyes of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and he said, it could never be better than this. He was relishing the taste of the holy name in his final moments. So, when he was having this acute pain, he did not take this cancer and pain to be an obstruction. Rather, he accepted it as something which is helping him to relish the taste of Krishna's holy name much, much better. There was a Russian devotee who also, there was a devotee in Russia who died at a pretty young age, something in the age of 25 or 26. He was suffering from cancer. But he had served the mission very sincerely. And in his final moments, he was surrounded by all the devotees. And at that time, naturally, when the life is about to go out, a person becomes very weak. He is hardly conscious. And so this person was lying, his eyes were closed, and all the devotees were chanting. And the chanting was full-throated, and they were chanting very loudly. Suddenly, this devotee opened his eyes. He smiled, and he showed signs of revival. In fact, he made an attempt to sit, and he raised his finger, and he gave a thumbs-up sign. And what did he tell all his other friends? All the devotees who were standing around and helping him to peacefully leave the body, remembering the holy name, he told them, Prabhupada has certainly not cheated us. And with a big smile and satisfaction on his face, he breathed his last. Obviously, he had the transcendental experience in his final moments. And that is what Krishna says. If there is one more incident which comes to mind, this happened somewhere in Mayapur. A team of devotees were traveling on the highway, and they were traveling in a Maruti van, and they met with an accident, and one of the devotees was thrown on the road and his throat was cut, so he could not speak, and blood was oozing out, and he was floating in and out of consciousness, and he really felt that this was his final moment. He thought, I am not going to survive now. But as he tried to chant, he could not, because his throat was choked. And it was damaged. Blood was flowing out. So he was thinking, my Lord, I have given my life in your service. And at this final moment, when I am supposed to remember you, I can't even utter your holy name. And suddenly what happened? Suddenly, the 16 syllable Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, flashed in bright neon signs in front of his eyes. So Krishna can make himself available to his devotee in any way. He came as unlimited sari to Draupadi. And to this devotee who sincerely wanted to remember him at that point of time, he came in the form of bright neon lights. Of course, fortunately the devotee survived, and therefore we have this story. We know what his experiences are. So verse number 11.
Yadaksharam veda veda vido vadanti vishanti yad yad yayo vita vitaragaha yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe.
Translation. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkara and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. This verse number 11. Again, it deals with the Shad Chakra Yoga. But even to perform this Dhyana Yoga, one needs to practice celibacy from young age, from the student age, from the student life. One has to be absolutely celibate if one has to successfully perform this Dhyana Yoga process by which he can fix the life air between the eyebrows. Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, as per the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, kibha vipra kibha nyasi kene shudra nai Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sai Guru Hoy. That is, for this age of Kali especially, sannyas, brahmacharya are all very difficult. One who knows the science of Krishna He is qualified to guide and lead people, to teach and to give the transcendental knowledge, that is to become Guru. So therefore, it is explained that these kind of processes, though they are valid, how practical are they? Therefore, Prabhupada has come to simplify the whole thing for us and make it within our reach. If things are not in your reach, we know the story of the jackal and the grapes. When it could not reach the grapes, it said the grapes are far. So similarly, the living entity, if things are made so difficult that he cannot attain God, then he will say there is no God. So therefore, out of his causeless mercy, the Lord himself, through the medium of his pure devotee, he has given us this very simple process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Sankirtan and performing this yajna, which is very potent, especially for this age of Kali, by which one can positively realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the best form of yoga, Sankirtan yajna, for this age of Kali. And again, the verse number 12, it says, you have to refrain from sensual pleasures, that is practice pratyahar. In this verse number 12, let us read it once. Sarva dvarini sayamya manoridi nirudhyacha murdhanya adhyatmana pranam asito yogadharanam. The translation is, the yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head, one establishes himself in yoga. In this, for this verse, Prabhupada has made one nice comment. He says, what is yoga? He says, yoga is nothing but plus plus. I was wondering, what is this plus plus? He says, plus plus because actually when we come into this world, we are minus God. So if we have minus God from our lives, so yoga means adding God to your life. So he says, simply plus, add God, and that is yoga. Then your life becomes perfect and complete. Verse number 13, the final verse. Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran yaprayati tyajandeham sayati paramam gatim. Translation. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Fix in yoga, chant Om, thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quit the body, reach the spiritual planets. Prabhupada said, Om, Brahman, Krishna are all non-different. Impersonal sound of Krishna is actually Om, and Hare Krishna contains Om. That's what Prabhupada explains. So chant Hare Krishna and reach spiritual planets. Personalists will go to the Golok Dham, will go to the Vaikuntha planets. The impersonalists, they get stuck in the Brahma Jyoti, but after some time, they have to once again come back into this material world. So the best process for us, which is actually difficult for us to understand because it is beyond our conception, imagination and understanding, achintya, but by the mercy of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, it has been very simplified and explained to us that we can certainly achieve the perfection of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the association of devotees and perfect our life and go back to Godhead in this very life. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions? Or I think it is now time for kirtan. So, that will be more enlightening. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.